Okay. So we have here the Morinayim in Parshas Bo, and the Morinayim discusses, amongst other things, the following question. He explains what it means, Bo El Paro. Bo El Paro. Why does the Parsha start? Everyone asks the question. It could be Lech El Paro. Lech means go to Paro. Bo means come to Paro. That's not the usual way of speaking. The usual way of speaking is you say, Lech, go to Paro. Bo means come to Paro. That's not how you speak. Come into his presence. That's not the way you speak. Lech El Paro mi boy lech. So he explains. This is the Morinayim, vintage Morinayim l'shitaso. He says it again and again. That the Golos Mitzrayim was Golos Hadas. We discussed this last week. Golos Mitzrayim is the Golos of the Jewish mind, of the divine mind. As long as the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, they lacked an awareness of their own divinity. The whole Yisayit of life is to recognize that we are neshamas and not bodies, and that we are a chelik lekach. We have Hashem in us. Hashem is us. We and Hashem are really one. And the Mitzrayim, they couldn't think that way. That's the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim. You might put another way that das also means to be 100% sure, to be vadai, to be 100% clear and sure of what I am and what my purpose in this world is. And that also was impossible in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, the flesh and its taivas were so distracting that you simply couldn't come in contact with the neshama. And if you can't come in contact with the neshama, you can't come in contact with the Torah. Because the Torah and the neshama are one. So that is why they couldn't get the Torah to the left of Mitzrayim. Earlier, if you remember Parshas Noach, the Morinayim said that after the Mabul, any Kedusha that there was drowned in Mitzrayim. That's why they didn't have to go there and take out the Kedusha of Mitzrayim. It's really a big chiddush that the letters of the Torah, which are man's connection to Shemayim, after the Mabul, these letters were imprisoned in Mitzrayim, and that's why the Yidden had to be imprisoned in Mitzrayim. And when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they took those letters with them, and that was their preparation for Matan Torah. And that's why Chazal say that, for instance, we had last week's parsha, we had a Kal V'Chomer. Moshe says, "Hey, B'nei Yisrael, Shom Eilai. Madav Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me, so certainly Paro is not going to listen to me." And Rashi says this is one of the 10 Kal V'Chomers in the Torah. It's a Kal V'Chomer. So in other words, what does it mean that Kal V'Chomer is one of the ways that the Torah is explained, and the Torah is interpreted through a Kal V'Chomer? And Moshe Rabbeinu extracted a Kal V'Chomer from the situation of Mitzrayim. He said to Hashem, "Listen, Bnei Yisrael don't listen to me, so Kal V'Chomer, so certainly Madav Bnei Yisrael, who should want to listen to me, and are closer to me, and they should want to listen to me, they don't listen to me, so certainly Paro is not going to listen to me." So the Kal V'Chomer, this the Morinayim does not say. The Kal V'Chomer itself expresses the idea of how hard it was to hear the truth in Mitzrayim. Because Moshe is saying to Hashem, Bnei Yisrael don't want to hear the truth from me, that there's a God, that there's a Gula, that there's a life after Mitzrayim, that there's the land of Israel. Because they're so detached from their spiritual selves, they just can't hear me. I'm a spiritual person. My words don't resonate with them. So if Madav Bnei Yisrael, who are more spiritual than Paro, they become so corrupted here, they don't hear me. So Kal V'Chomer, so certainly Paro can't hear me. That's just, I'm just adding that detail. But Morinayim, I'm just saying this point. The Lamaisa Moshe extracted a Torah principle called the Kal V'Chomer from the situation of Mitzrayim. To allude to the fact that the Geula from Mitzrayim was not merely the Geula of the Jewish people. It was a redemption of the Torah itself. Redemption of the Torah itself. And therefore he says, it works like this. The Torah starts with the word Bereishis. And the word Bereishis starts with the letter Beis. Why does the Torah start with the letter Beis and not the letter Aleph? The Torah starts with the letter Aleph and Aleph Beis. Why does it start with the letter Beis? The answer is that Aleph stands for Alufa Shalaylam. Aleph stands for Hashem. And if the Torah started with the letter Aleph, there will be such awesome light and such teachings. Aluf means God is our teacher. The ultimate relationship we have with the Rebbeinu, that God is teaching us who we are. Hashem has many names. But the Maharanayim always refers to Hashem as Aleph, Aluf Shalaylam. Aluf means an officer. Aluf means a general. But in the simplest meaning of the word Aluf comes the word La'aleith, which is to teach. And the Maharanayim says that had the world been created with the letter Aleph, and the Torah began with letter Aleph, there would be such a light, and the teachings would be so strong and so powerful that we could not handle it. It would be like looking straight at the sun, it makes you blind, so that the teachings would make us blind. So therefore the Torah Dafka starts with the letter Beis. And the letter Aleph is sort of swallowed up in the letter Beis. It's sort of like, he brings down this, is a famous, he said again, he says many times, says a pasuk in Tillim. In Tillim it says, in Tillim pei dalet pasuk yud beis. Ki shemesh umagin Hashem elokim. Because Hashem is a sun and a shield at the same time. Just like the sun. We know that the sun, if the sun has a core, and the sun has a corona around it, which is not as hot as the core of the sun. I forget all the exact numbers of the Fahrenheit. I think the outside of the sun is merely 10,000 degrees, which is not that much, really. 10,000 degrees, it's hot, but the inner core is hotter. And if there wouldn't be this external gaseous sort of a shield, it's a fact, it means it's an astronomical scientific fact that the sun has a layer around it, which is a really protection against the inner fire of the sun. It's a fact. So it says, Shemesh imagin Hashem. Hashem is a sun and a shield, because the sun itself is a shield. But that is a metaphor, that's an illustration for the idea that whenever the Rebbeinu Shel Olam shines his light on us, if we got the direct sunlight, if we got the direct light of Hashem, it would be too overwhelming for us. We couldn't handle it. So Hashem is a sun, but he protects us from his own wisdom, his own revelation, his own light. And the letter Beis is the mugain against the letter Aleph. Then he makes a very fascinating insight. I've never heard this before. And you'll notice that the Maharanayim, that right after the letter Beis, you have a lot of Alephs. You do have Alephs. In Bereishis you have an Aleph. Bor you have an Aleph. Elokim, Aleph. Es, Aleph. Interesting. Four Aleph, right? In the consecutive words with Aleph. Bereishis, Bara, Elokim, Es. Hashemayim, the Es, Haaretz. The only one you don't have the Aleph, it actually is Shemayim. Maybe Shemayim itself is light. Es, Shemayim, the Es, Haaretz. So every single word in that pasuk, every single word in the first pasuk has an Aleph in it, except for one. Because Shemayim, it was neither the Aleph, because the Aleph represents Hashem's great glory, and Shemayim, that itself is the glory of Hashem. Maybe he doesn't go into that. But he does mention that there's a lot of Aleph in this pasuk. Very interesting. Why? Because if you start with Beis, Beis is the shield, Beis is the outer shell, Beis is the protective insulation, a bias, Beis is a bias, it's a house. A house is a protection. It protects the Aleph that's inside and shields us from it. And that's why the letter has to be. So therefore he says, Boy El Paro. So he says, Boy is Beis and Aleph is Aleph. So what it means to say, he says, the Maharanayim is, Hashem is telling Moshe that the whole reason why you're going to Paro is because it's a matzav of Boy. When you're in front of Paro, you have the Beis, is primary, is first, then you have the Aleph, which is secondary. We're going to change things around, and when we get to Har Sinai, the Aleph will be in the Zgala. There'll be a Gil in Har Sinai where the Aleph will come first. And then as Har Sinai starts with Anoiche Shon Lekecha, as I say, as but it means a deeper sense is that there'll be a Izgala Zadois Aleph. As long as you're going to Paro, it's Boyal Paro, it's Beis, then the Aleph. It's the shield, and then the revelation. It's the insulation before the revelation. But Lassad Lavoi, Paro will be the Aleph first. So as long as you're still in the presence of Aleph, of Paro, we're in a Beis mode, the primary Beis mode, and the Aleph mode is secondary. That is the words of the Heilige Gemara Nayim. This is the final words on this parsha. Now, what I'd like to do is this will today Hei Shvat. It's not above, but today was Hei Shvat is a big yard site. It's the yard site of Sfas Emes. So Semes has many, many beautiful things in this parsha, which also work very nicely into this whole concept. That Yetzias Mitzrayim was taking off the outer shell. As long as they're Mitzrayim, they're stuck in the shell. They can't grow. Their minds can't grow. Hashem's light can't grow. So Semes, as you said, he heard from Zayda was his primary Rebbe. Zayda, of course, was the Chedush Arim, the first Geri Rebbe. So Semes died on Hei Shvat 1905. I mean, now is his 102 years since his Ptira. So Semes died young, actually, I think. And he himself was the grandchild of Chedush Arim. His own father died in the lifetime of his grandfather. Almost all of his children died in his lifetime. I think he had 14 children who died in his lifetime. It's awesome. The suffering and pain. All that survived was his grandson. Became the second Geri Rebbe. And the third Geri Rebbe was the Sfas Emes, his son, the Imre Emes, Rav Mordechai, who died in 1947, was being Rebbe for 42 years. And his son was the Beis Yisrael, and the Leif Simcha. At any rate, Sfas Emes says, it's a very famous study, he said he hears from Zayda, his Rebbe, and that is that the world is created with Asar Mamoros. The world is created with 10 statements of God, starting with Bereshis, Yior, Yerakia, right? There were 10 proclamations, 10 mamoros, nivra olam, and he says that at Har Sinai, Hashem gave 10 commandments, aseres adibris, and it was the eser makis, the 10 makis in Mitzrayim, that transformed the 10 mamorois into aseres adibris. You hear? The 10 mamorois were transformed into aseres adibris, by virtue of the 10 makas. What does that mean? That's exactly the point. When Hashem created the world with 10 mamoras, let there be sun, let there be light, let there be grass, let there be animals, let there be fish. Lamaisa, the way Hashem created the world was, His word was hidden inside the world. The word was hidden inside the world. You didn't see it. The way Hashem created the world was the 10 mamoras were hidden. But then, Aseres Adibris, Hashem said openly to the world, it was open revelation. Again, the Aseres Mamorais were with the Ois Beis. Beis is a shield, things are covered up, things are in a shell. Aseres Mamorais, things were hidden inside a shell. Aseres Adibris, everything is open. Aseres Mamorais was with the letter Beis. Aseres Adibris was the letter Aleph. And the transformation from the letter Beis, the letter Aleph, the transformation happened through the 10 makas. The makas was like cracked open the shell. What's been trying means shell. Meitzar yom. Meitzara means a shell, a constriction, a jam, a traffic jam. a narrowing, an impediment. Mitzrayim is an impediment, an interference. You don't see Hashem. It interferes between us and Hashem. So therefore he says that the Eser HaMakis transformed the Eser HaMamoras into Eser HaDibros. It's a very important yisod. And therefore now, the Amunah that was implanted in the earth when the Eser HaMamoras is available to everybody. Another thing he says, this is Parsha, he says that, again, the people of the Gulls of Mitzrayim were very big people. You shouldn't think the people of Mitzrayim were just mere slaves and just regular low-life people, slave mentality. Chas v'shalom. The people of Mitzrayim were very great. The reason why they didn't act great is because Gulls of Mitzrayim is stronger than them. It's not that they were not great. They were great. You can imagine how miserable it was in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was such a bad place. The place itself was bad, and the whole treatment was so bad that these wonderful, great people, who had great minds and great hearts and great understanding of God, everything was squashed and crushed within them. But the reason why they suffered so much was so that the story of Mitzrayim should be a chizuk to us in the final galus. We're in the final galus. They suffered because of us. You realize that? They suffered because they knew that we'd be in the worst galus, this galus. And that's why we always say, Zeichel, let's use Mitzrayim. Why is everything Zeichel, let's use Mitzrayim? Why does God want us to remember Mitzrayim? Why does God want us to remember Mitzrayim so much? Why does the Rebbe Hashem want us to remember Mitzrayim so badly? What's the big deal? Everything Zeichel, let's use Mitzrayim. The answer is, it gives us chizuk. The reason is because Hashem knew there'd be a final galus we're in right now. And it looks like it's the endless galus of 2,000 years. And what's going to happen is that when we say Zeich, let's see Mitzrayim, that gives us chizuk, that just like the Yidden, it looked like impossible to get out of Mitzrayim, Hashem will get us out of this galus as well, no matter how bleak it looks. And that's why you have everything Zeich, let's see Mitzrayim. And that's why it says, Ulaman to Safra Bazei Bincha. The reason why there's a mitzvah Agodah, it's because the whole reason why they suffered so much from Mitzrayim was because they should pass over a legacy to their children and children's children, which is us. Of Giz Chizuk. The Manta Sapra is for our sake. Why, again, why is that a recurring theme in Pesach? Tell it over to your children. The Manta Sapra is your children, children. You know why? Because the whole Mitzrayim was designed to be a Chizuk for us. It's a Chizuk for us. So you gotta give it over to your children. That's why it happened. That's why they suffer so much. And one more interesting point. I mean, he has many points. So I'll share with you another interesting point. He says that Paro, you know what the gematria of Paro is? Pei Resh is 280. Ayin is another 70. That's 350. And Hey is 355. You know what the gematria is? Shin Nun Hei, 355, which is Shana, year. Means that Paro, Merdik. Paro is the antithesis of Hashem. Hashem represents Netzach, Lemalam and Azman. And Paro is Shana, year, which is the basic time component. The revolution of the sun, of the earth around the sun. In those days, it was the sun around the earth. But the point being is that the year, the solar year is the basis of all time. We work right downward from that. 365 days, divided into months, divided into weeks, divided into days, divided into hours, into minutes, into seconds. But it doesn't start from seconds up, it starts from a year down. So the idea being that Paro represents a man who has no sense of Netzach. As we said, in Mitzrayim, a Yid could not relate to the Rabbanu Shalom, because Hashem is Netzach, forever. And Mitzrayim, Paro, is Shana, is time. He was locked into time of Olam Hazeh. He couldn't comprehend of a different world, which is a world beyond time, beyond years, beyond restrictions, a no-limit world, a Netzach world, a world of eternity. That's beyond him. So his very name, isn't that fascinating? His very name represents Zman. And that's why Taka in this week's parsha, the first mitzvah is Achayis Elohim, that teaches that even time is a creation of God, and time is in the hands of the Chachmi Yisrael. They'll decide when the new month starts and when it doesn't start. To show that time comes from Hashem too. But really it's Netzach. Time is like a fragment of Netzach. But Netzach is Dikir. Eternity is Dikir. Our whole avodah is to get to eternity. So that is another concept. And he also says the idea that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam hardened Paro's heart. That means the significance of hardening Paro's heart is that Paro is the Yetzer Hara. It means to say that a Yid should never give up. Many times, the Yetzer Hara has such a grip on us that we give up. I'll never change myself. I'll never change. It just doesn't work. I cannot change. It's so hard to change. So therefore Hashem hardened Paro's heart and changed him for bad. But the point being that shows you that Hashem has the heart of the Yetzer Hara in his hands. Paro represents the evil inclination. He represents the forces of evil. And by virtue of the fact that Hashem is playing around with him, it shows you that, not like some kaifim say, that the Satan and the Malach HaMaves and the forces of evil work independently of God. Hashem can't control them. Chas v'shalom. Hashem can. And in case you and I become a Jewish, if we get discouraged and disillusioned, how can I possibly conquer my Yetzer Hara? It's so strong. So we learn from the story of Paro. The Yetzer Hara is also just a creation of Hashem. And when Hashem wants, he can harden the heart of the Yetzer Hara and do what he wants with him. Because the daven to Hashem for siyat nishmai, takis, after all is said and done, after all your therapies, where the Yetzer Hara comes from, and all the different doctors, and all the help you get, and all the mussars for him, all you need is siyat nishmai, and you said daven. Baruch. Atah. Adonai. Vayhein the melech oilam. Shakol niyeh bezvero. So that is another lesson, says the Sfas Emes. Paro, the Yetzer Hara, is in the hands of Hashem. We should never give up. And daven. Only through davening can we finally conquer the Yetzer Hara. Finally, a word from the Kedushas Levi. He says, he has all his mahalach with Kedushas Levi, this week's parsha. And he says, he speaks about that in the Heinrich Parsha, Hashem says, Hayoyim atem yoytzim b'chodesh aviv. Today you're going out in the month of spring, aviv. And why is it called aviv? So aviv is the opposite of Tishrei. The month of Nisan is the opposite of the month of Tishrei. Tishrei, the letters are one way, and aviv, the letters are another way. Let me explain to you what he says about this. He says, sometimes a king always wants to know if the people are loyal. Sometimes he tests his subjects to see if they're loyal to him. Sometimes he tests the subjects to see if they're loyal to his family. They might be loyal to me, but who says they'll be loyal to my family? So, he says in Tishrei, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tests Klal Yisrael to see if they're loyal to him, and they're afraid of him. In this, Hashem checks out the world to see if they're loyal to his children, Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael themselves have to be loyal to themselves and loyal to one another. So therefore he says that when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is out to check the world if they're loyal to him, he's very tough, he's very harsh. And that's why Tishrei is the first letters of Tishrei are Tav Shin Resh, which represent the backward olive bays, which is the olive bays of Midas Hadin, the olive bays of strict justice. It's backwards. Mashenk and Aviv, Nisan represents Aleph Beis, which is the forward, the Aleph Beis we use, which is the Aleph Beis of Rachman, of mercy. So Aviv is a better time than the fall. Fall, the leaves are falling, right? Falling down. So too, the Aleve is going down from Tav, it's going backwards. And in springtime, everything starting to grow. That's Aviv, that's Aleve, that's Aviv, father. Because in springtime, the Rebbe Yisrael is motivated to test the world to see if the world loves B'nai Yisrael. How are they treating the Jewish people? He's Aviv, he's the father to his children. And the father is Aleve Beis, which is Midas Rachman. The Aleve Beis 4 that we have is the Aleve Beis of Rachman. By shaking the Aleve Beis backwards, is not the main Aleve Beis. Tav, Shin, Reish, Kuf, Tzadi, etc. That's the Midas HaDin Aleve Beis. That's why in Tishrei it is Din, on Rosh Hashanah it is Din. Because there Hashem is testing the world to see if they love Him. That's a very strict Din, that's very strict. Hashem is strict about that. Whether they love his sons or not, whether the sons are behaving themselves, that Hashem doesn't mean it's a rachmim. That's the Aleph Beis of Ov. Aleph Beis. And Oviv. He just says one last diak. He says, that's why he says the Mishnah in Shkolim. It says in the Gemara, right, Hachoydish is Elohim. Hachoydish, Lashon Chiddush, it means that you machadish the Shkolim. You know that every year Bnei Yisrael brought shkolim, machta shekel, every year give machta shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. The collection started on Rosh Chodesh Adar. They had a month to bring it in. And Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they started using the new collection. And the old money they put away for something else. But the new yearly collection started in Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar, and goes to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they start using the new shkolim. And it says in the Mishnah Shkolim that they had three big boxes for the Shkolim. One said on Aleph, one said Beis, one said Gimel. Abak. Why? This the Moran says this the Diuk, that since it's starting, they start to use the new money, HaChodesh, the new money for the new moon, for the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that's called, Nisan is also called Chodesh Aviv, the month of Aviv, which is Aleph Beis. So that's why Dafka the Remez is these three boxes at Aleph Beis Gimel to say that this is the month of the Aleph Beis of Aleph Beis Gimel. The Remez on Tishrei that you're going to back with Aleph Beis is that the Simen for Tkiya Shvarim True Tkiya is Tashrak. Tashrak. Which is Tav Shin Reish Kuf, the Aleph Beis backwards. So the month is called Tishrei, which is Tav Shin Reish, which is Midas Adin, and Yud represents Yom Kippur, Zizek Dor Chaim HaKadosh, which is Shikol Rachman. And the simon for the Tkiya Shaifer is Tav Shin Reish Kuf. Tkiya Shvarim Trua Tkiya. Tav is the first Tkiya, Shin is the Shvarim, Reish is for the Trua, and then the Kuf is for the second Tkiya. So, in the month of Aviv, you have the three boxes that start out of Beis Gimel, because it's Midas HaRachman. It's the Rachman of a father and a son, of. And in Tishrei, you have, Hashem is very strict, because there he's testing the world for the loyalty to him. And there he's very strict. And that's why it's the back of Aleph Beis, and that's why it's not Aleph Beis, it's Tav Shin Reish, which is the Aleph Beis of Midas HaDin. Tishrei, but Nisan is Midas HaRachman. Whenever Klai Yisrael speak about Yitzchus Rishayim, that's Midas HaRachman of the Rebbe Yisrael. So we'll stop here, gentlemen, and we'll continue with Hashem next week.